From CITI program, I'm Darren Gaddis, and this is On Campus. Today, Collegiate Athletic Conferences. I spoke with Tiffany Tucker, the Deputy Director of Athletics at University of North Carolina at Wilmington. As a reminder, this podcast is for educational purposes only. It is not intended to provide legal advice or guidance. You should consult with your organization's attorneys if you have questions or concerns about relevant laws and regulations discussed in this podcast. Additionally, the views expressed in this podcast are solely those of the guest and do not represent the views of their employer. Hi, Tiffany. Thank you for joining me today.
Hey, Darren. Thank you so much for having me. I'm super honored, of course, to be here and to get an opportunity to speak with you again.
Before we dive into our topic today, what is your educational and professional background?
Of course, I'm originally from Petersburg, Virginia, where I went to school, Atoka High School. I'm a proud warrior and from Atoka, and had an opportunity to go to the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill, where I played women's basketball for 4 years and had an awesome career and experience there. Got my master's degree from Hampton University. I had an opportunity to coach on a Division I, II, and III for over 7 years before I transitioned into athletic administration, where I've been at various institutions over my course of time. And currently, I'm the Deputy Director of Athletics and Senior Woman Administrator at the University of North Carolina, Wilmington.
Today, we're going to be talking about college athletics. And to help ground our conversation, what is a collegiate athletic conference?
Athletic conferences are the umbrella organization of which the Association of Colleges and Universities compete against each other in various sports. And the conferences pretty much are the fundamental part of the structure of college athletics in the United States. But however, some of the essential functions of what the conference office does for the membership, it helps with competition scheduling and hosting conference championships, which eventually, if you win your conference championship, you get an automatic bid to the NCAA tournament. And possibly, if you're in a two-bid league, you could have two teams participate in the NCAA tournament. Rules and governance is huge. The conference establishes and enforces the rules and regulations for competition. One of the big pieces that we, of course, see all over ESPN is revenue distribution, and the conference helps revenue and generate sales from tickets and contracts and sponsorships. So they have an essential function in definitely helping universities thrive from a revenue standpoint. And one of the biggest pieces is advocacy. So conferences typically advocate for the interests of their membership on the national level. So you have essentially what we call commissioners who lead these conferences, and they have discussions around how we move college athletics forward.
Recently, there has been a realignment of collegiate athletic conferences. Could you explain exactly what this is?
It's best for me to give you an example. Here, even in our own conference, in the Coastal Athletic Conference, we just recently changed our name to the Coastal. But essentially, what we've done in the past 2 years is we had an institution leave our conference and join another conference in 2022, which left us with 9. And in the last year, we onboarded 4 new institutions. And then this year, we've added an additional school up under our umbrella of our conference. And if you think about this huge umbrella, you have 14 separate institutions who are under this umbrella. And just with conference realignment, it happens all over the country. I know recently we've seen a lot of talk about the Pac-12 and institutions leaving from under that umbrella to join, whether it's the umbrella of the Big Ten and the umbrella of the Big 12. And this will continue to happen all across the country just because everybody has different interests. And you never know what this umbrella may be good for you for this amount of time, and it may be time for you to change and try something else that works better for your institution.
And how does this realignment of these collegiate athletic conferences impact student athletes in the overall scheme of athletics within higher education?
So, conference realignment has a wide range and effect on student athletes. the competition, travel demands, financial considerations, recruitment. We talk about competition and exposure for the student athletes. They may face tougher competition. It forces coaches to recruit a different level of athlete. The time and travel commitments, what have may have been a bus trip, may now be a flight to a different institution. And of course, the financial implications that come with that, whether it's the revenue distribution that comes from the conference, or you making sure that as an administrator like myself, making sure that our budget is enough to sustain what we have set forth to be able to fulfill those obligations. And the reputation and branding, we're all about the glitz and the glam. Everyone loves athletics. It brings people together. And you always want to be attracted to the winning team and then your alumni, your donors. And it, of course, affects the bottom line.
How exactly does this change impact higher education more broadly?
Conference changes can have a ripple effect through higher education, and just not only affecting the athletics programs, but the university kind of financial health, the reputation, the enrollment, how you engage with your alumni, and then your overall institutional identity. I think about the biggest two pots that changes from a broad aspect on a campus is recruiting and enrollment. Like I said before, students in general want to be attracted to, are going to be attracted to universities that are winning, that has, you know, tradition, and that the fun and the zest of the college campus and that whole athletic camaraderie environment. And then to the overall student experience, a strong athletic program and a conference affiliation can enhance the overall student experience. And of course, providing that sense of community and spirit and pride that will definitely help, whether it's hiring of new deans and even attracting college presidents and chancellors.
With this knowledge, what can administrators do on college campuses to address this realignment for student athletes? And how does this maybe make the role of administrator more complex?
Change is inevitable. And as an administrator, we make decisions every day that are going to affect our student athletes, our coaches, our staff, our colleagues among the league. But first and foremost, being open in your communication. When you're going through these changes, whether it's reaching out to your students, we have what's called your student athlete advisory committees. Getting with your student leadership and talking openly about what this change looks like and what does it mean for them. Making sure that your coaches are aware of what transitions are going to happen, because they're recruiting for the 24, the 25, the 26 academic year. So when you're going to make this one change, it's going to have a ripple effect throughout your department. Talking to your academic advisors and your academic leaders on campus to make sure that we have the resources and the ample academic support for our students. As I talked about before with the travel changes, that's going to definitely affect how our student athletes learn and how they retain information, especially if they're taking flights and possibly missing class and may not have availability for on-campus tutoring because of travel demands. But making sure you're talking to your academic folks on your campus so you can prepare for the transition. Financial aid. I hate to continue to bring up the dollar. We have to be honest and realistic about, if we make this change financially, are we going to be able to cover all of the costs that's associated with these changes? And making sure that we're traveling and being able to accommodate our student athletes at a high level and that they're comfortable and we're able to compete without sacrificing the dollar and how we budget. Because you just don't want to do it in a way where you're taken from one piece in order to finance something else. And then cultural transitions and making sure that we help our student athletes, whether it's from a regional landscape, understand how a new conference, a different institution comes in, or start to form a rivalry with a different institution. That definitely changes the culture. Definitely thinking about things like that and the alumni and your donor support. Making sure that you have the necessary folks in the room when you're making this decision, that you have the buy-in. and you're not trying to ask for forgiveness on the back end.
What else should we know about the realignment of collegiate conferences in higher education?
Yeah, conference realignment is an ongoing process, and understanding it is, it's not a one-time event, but it's a response to the changing dynamics in college sport. Financial, like I talked about, the financial pressures, the television contracts, the competitiveness of the leagues, all of this matters when you're deciding on where you're going to land your institution, under what umbrella works for you right now. And administrators should just always stay prepared, always do your research, be transparent with your folks and your team, and just always think about the student athletes first and what's going to help them in the well-being over their course of time while they're at your institution. You know, is this the best decision for our student athletes in this moment and for the years to come? And I know it's a tough decision when you make a decision to leave that league and you've decided to move to a different conference, but you've got the necessary folks at the table, and make sure you do your homework, ask the hard questions, don't shy away from the criticism, but just ask the hard questions and definitely listen. You have to listen to your folks because they're going to give you good feedback, and everyone has an opinion, but some of those opinions actually make a whole lot of sense.
Tiffany, as always, thank you for joining me today.
Oh, thank you, Darren.
Thank you for listening to today's episode, and be sure to follow, like, and subscribe to On Campus with CITI program to stay in the know. If you enjoyed this podcast, you may also be interested in other podcasts from CITI program, including On Research and On Tech Ethics. Please visit CITI Program's website to learn more about all of our offerings at citiprogram.org. I invite you to review our content offerings regularly, as we are continually adding new courses, subscriptions, and webinars that may be of interest to you, like CITI Program's ADA Accessibility and Accommodations in Higher Education course. All of our content is available to you anytime through organizational and individual subscriptions.